I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Host Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, all the latest gaming coverage, developer interview, the latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Here we go.
E3 2016 coverage starts now.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. We're here live still at E3 2016. And of course, I have the whole crew here. Paris, what's going on, Paris?
Last day of E3, man. I am surprisingly not tired, but just hungry.
Yeah. Hey, and also P-Rock, Pete.
Hungry.
That's
tired.
It?
No, it's been a really good week. Thankfully, I'm in better shape, so I can actually enjoy it this time, and I'm not complaining about, you know, heaviness or tiredness or sore feet or whatever, but I'm glad. It's been a real productive week, and we've done
definitely
a bang-up job this E3.
We got some pretty good interviews today, and it was Civilization, Star Trek. What's the other ones that we got today? Ghost Recon, again. I remember. There was a lot today. Yeah, South Park. We gotta talk about that game for sure. I know you were playing for a while, and yeah. But also, we have special guests. Let's start off with Marcia, the Mommy Gamers.
Hi, what? What's up?
What's up? This is your first E3 ever.
Yeah.
How was your experience so far?
The most fantastic experience on the planet. Yeah, It's great. Just wonderful experience. If you haven't been, you should take the time to come, because I've just met amazing people and seeing awesome things, and yeah, wonderful experience.
Awesome. You got to see a lot of cool games too.
Like all the games.
Yeah, nice little hookup. I like that. And also, we have another guest, Andrew, on the show Radio.
What's up, everybody? Glad to be here.
Man, look at that deep voice. Like, yo, hey, I'm here live. So, Andrew, how was your E3 experience this year, man?
It was really good, man. It was amazing. Physically, I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. Last year, I was dragging. By Thursday, 1 o'clock, I was absolutely done on the show floor. And I really think that just eating better really helped. Just watching my weight. I think this year was a year of health for me, you know, and VR too. I'm sure you're going to talk about that.
Oh, definitely.
But I definitely feel way better this year, and I'm just going to, you know, keep on that.
You planned it out perfectly for this year.
Yeah, all right, definitely. Nice. It was good.
Cool. And also, we have Q.
What's going on, fellas? Good seeing you guys again. Always look forward to this time of year to see your beautiful faces.
And website.
The website? Game, GameCrate.com. I'm the editor over at GameCrate.com. So make sure you guys give it a visit and see all of our coverage along with listening to Gamer Tag Radio because they have great coverage too.
Awesome. And you got to see a lot of cool games too, right? This week?
Yeah. I guess we'll get into it a little bit later. But yeah, there are some games that I was surprised that I would actually like.
Mm.
So yeah.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. All right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes and make sure to share with your friends. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com, which I believe we've been getting a lot of emails and voicemails. We're going to play that
when we get
later
back.
Later this month. Probably going to take a break for like a week because, man, that was a lot of content. A lot of content for 23, man. So... All right, I have to start with this, man. Paris, you got to play Star Trek VR. That was pretty cool, actually, seeing Paris playing the VR stuff. That was like your true first experience? No, right? No, you play another Ubisoft game before that.
Well, yeah, I played the Eagle. I keep just calling it the Eagle game, but it's something similar. It's a simple name.
Flight of the Eagle or Eagle Flight
or something like that. Yeah, I played Eagle Flight earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you know, like a few months ago, I played Minecraft VR. And then now, yeah, I got to do the Star Trek game in VR. And this was the most impressive one for the interaction that you're having in that virtual space. I mean, you were literally sitting on the bridge of a starship in the Star Trek universe. You know, I look behind me, the captain's there giving me orders. I look to the left of me. I got the navigator. I look to the right of me. I got the person that's working all the resource, the engineer that's doing all the resources, the transporter and all that stuff. And my job was I was in charge of raising the shields and the torpedoes and firing the phasers. And then the survivors, I had to actually track the space capsules or whatever. I had to track them and then scan them for survivors and stuff like that. So then the engineer could transport them onto the ship and then the Klingons came. So I had to raise shields and I had to fire the torpedoes at them, all kind of stuff.
Yo, we were right next to you the whole time. You were smiling from start to finish. Like I was like, I know you're a fan of Star Trek. So seeing you playing that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So, and this was the first time I used I wasn't using like an Xbox One controller. I was using those two like grip controller things.
Oculus, right?
Yeah, for Oculus. Because when you're inside it, you know, it's like I said, you're on the bridge. So I had a display panel and then you have your virtual arms and hands. And then you have to interact and do touch stuff. So you're pressing things with all that. It was very impressive. Like at first it's kind of disorienting because you're trying to
figure everything
used
out.
To it, but once you got used to the controls, and then the captain screaming orders and I'm like
that's
panicking.
That's the thing that I like about that. Yeah. The communication is like super important.
Yeah,
this
was like the first co-op experience I had in VR.
Yes.
And it worked because we had to work as a team. And look, we got all 18 survivors.
Perfect,
and,
right?
Because look, T-Pain did it before me and he was panicking, doing the same thing. He know what he was doing.
Yeah, that was actually fun, man. Cool, man. Any other games you got to see this week? Well, actually today, Marsh, you want to... Any cool ones? I think, was it Zelda today or was it that yesterday?
I played Zelda yesterday.
Please tell me how.
That was pretty amazing.
How was it? Like the experience and everything?
I honestly haven't played a Zelda game in a really long time. So for me, it was a whole new experience. Mm-hmm. It's neat, but it kind of felt like any character could have been in the game that they created other than Zelda.
Hmm.
To me, it didn't feel like a Zelda game. There weren't a lot of like the typical things you would see. It was an open roaming world with some crafting and cooking elements to it, and you could literally kind of go anywhere that you could see, which I thought was great. It kind of felt like a Skyrim game or something to me, because they're like, if you saw it, you could adventure in it, but a lot of puzzle elements. But like I said, I haven't played a Zelda in a while, but to me it just didn't feel like Zelda. It was beautiful,
but I mean, do you think having Zelda, the same type of Zelda, like the old school way, you want that, like forget about changing the game at all? Because I feel that keeping it the same as before, that's not going to... People are going to get tired of it, and they're not going to buy it. Like, see, like the thing I like about Mario is like there's so many different versions, but they're always changing, you know? Yeah, of course, there's others more successful, and it's kind of similar to the old ones. But like Mario Galaxy, I hear all the time we talk about it, Paris even says that's like one of the very games that he played during that time that it came out, you know? So I think it's a good thing that they're changing Zelda. I don't see that as a...
I agree, because honestly, I haven't bought the last couple of games they came out with. I was getting tired of them. This one I played, I only got about 15 minutes with it, and I didn't want to stop playing. I got tapped out. They're like, your turn's over. And I was like, okay, so I'm curious. I want to get it. I'll buy it.
Yeah, and Q, I know right before, well, in the intro, you mentioned something about some pretty cool games you got to check out today,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time in the Ubisoft booth. I think we all did today.
Yes.
But I was pretty impressed with most of the games in there, but one that I was really impressed with was For Honor, because from the trailers and everything I've seen, I was thinking it was like some sort of Dynasty Warriors type of game, and I'm not a big fan of those type of games, but when I actually went in there, and it was probably about an hour I had with the game, there's a lot of more in-depth way to play that game, where you have to kind of match, you know, your stance to an enemy stance, so you can block their oncoming attack or hit them when they're open on a side of their body or whatever. It was really more in depth than I thought it was going to be, and it's really interesting. And I'll be doing a little write up for GameCrate.com about my experience playing that. But I was really impressed with that game.
That's cool. It surprised you big time.
Did you not play it last year when they showed it?
I didn't, not at all.
Yeah, we played the last year. They had the multiplayer. This year they had the single player.
Gotcha.
Experience. Yeah.
Okay.
It was cool.
Single player. Yep.
Yeah. Andrew, what about you, man? Any surprises today?
Yeah, PlayStation VR is where I spent most of my time today.
Yeah.
I played Res Infinite. That was really cool. Battlezone, the golf game, the robot golf game, and also the GT Sport, which is really cool. For me, it took a while for me to actually come around to the VR, but even the design of the headset, wearing glasses was really easy to adjust and actually put on. So for me, you know, I'm really digging the VR and what they're doing with it. So that was most of my day. And yesterday was streaming stuff for some of the hardware companies, Razer, Turtle Beach. They have like their streaming microphones that they're coming out with. And even Plantronics, they're actually coming out with a headset for VR purposes for the Oculus and the different companies that have, you know, the VR headset. So it's the theme for this year. So it was definitely exciting to be a part of that.
Right, what about you, Pete? I know you're playing Steep.
Steep. Yeah, that's...
Man.
I
that
really
looks
dug
official because well, you're a fan of SSX.
Well, big time, big fan of that, and also going back to, and I brought this up in the interview with the game director, but prior to E3, we had spoken about what we were looking forward to, and one of the things I had mentioned was that Criterion game that never reappeared into the, you know, to the public, where they had like wingsuits and stuff like that, and then, you know, we jump in there and they're like, yeah, you've got wingsuits, you can, you know, glide down the mountain and all that. And I was just like, whoa, this is exciting. And then having getting a chance to do that, snowboarding, skiing, and paragliding, that was hella fun.
So Steep is a winter sports game, or what is
it's,
it really?
I don't even know if it's winter sports. I mean, it's granted, you're on a mountain and it's all snow, so I guess you could, it's similar to, I guess you could say winter sports, but it's extreme snowboarding, skiing down a mountain, again, you know, paragliding and wingsuit.
Things that sound like winter sports.
Shut up.
No, but graphically looks pretty amazing too, man.
And it's ready to go. It was supposed to drop this fall or holiday season.
Wow. So interesting.
Just like time for winter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, right, I'm impressed.
Dump button. Every time Marcia speaks, I'm hitting the dump button.
It's all good. Now let's talk about E3. Today,
weren't we just talking about it?
No, no, it's just the convention and like the whole thing. The thing that I noticed, the South Hall today, my God, man, it felt worse than the past 2 days.
Oh, it's crazy. If you walked past the
square,
the 2K booth,
yes,
it was just openness,
very open.
And then you know, they have little kiosks and stuff, and nobody's visiting these little kiosks for these little companies. And if you walk by there and I have the media pass, they're like, try to stop me, like, hey, come look at my iPhone cover company or something. I don't know what they have, but
yeah
it was really empty today.
I think today they announced that they had, I believe, 70,000 people that attended E3 for this year. It went down compared to previous events
and
stuff.
They average over 100,000. I mean, we're talking a 30%
you know, dropping people. That's significant. Now, you can understand 5, maybe 10% max, you know, for whatever, but 30?
Yeah, and is it because not having Activision and EA there, you think that was the... I mean, there was a lot of other companies that left, but that's a drop, man.
Forget Disney, too.
Disney, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Disney.
Disney, Activision, EA. EA took up a lot of real estate in that hall.
Yeah, that's true. It felt weird getting in there. Like
they had a whole... So last year, they had the whole Star Wars...
The whole Battlefront thing.
With the
speeder.
Yeah, the speeder stuck in the snow there. Mm-hmm. It took up a lot of space last
year. More winter sports, see?
Yeah, winter sports.
You were going to say something, Pete?
Do you really think... All right, let's just... I want to grab the EA component portion of that. How many people do you really think went to that? Do you think it was about 20,000?
That's a good question, man.
8 to 10,000. I mean, if you want to take, or if you want to just chop it up and say Activision, EA, and Disney, 10,000 people per head, would they have account? Would them stepping out have accounted, you know, for the loss of foot traffic?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just don't see. EA play. Was it packed? Yes. Was it 10,000?
10,000 people packed?
No.
But it
wasn't
over 10,000. Over what, 2 or 3 days? It's a 5,000 people a day or whatever.
They were focused mostly on the public, though, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they had the media there, you know, and I noticed there was a lot of random people that showed up and they got in. That's another thing that happened that I noticed during the week of E3 and stuff. But they did announce that they're going to have an event next year.
E3
2017 returns.
Oh, okay.
Now, I think more companies are going to bounce next year. I see that happening. After seeing this year, they're probably going to do their own thing, man.
I mean, think about it. We're even seeing it later this summer. And I know Activision always traditionally shows the multiplayer late in the fall anyways, but Call of Duty XP is coming back. That's Activision's E3 because Call of Duty is their big game for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplayer is the showcase for that title, and it's going to be a celebration for the public. And guess what? The media, we're all going to be there too. So it's like they win. And I know we keep talking about this over and over, so I don't know if we want to move on to something else.
But it just
shows this thing is going away eventually.
Yeah.
As chill and as good of a vibe as I had this year, I enjoy it because of all you people, right?
That's the best part.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Yep.
You know, I know, crazy that I'm actually thinking this. But it just, like you said, that South Hall just felt so off. And I'm not seeing an incentive for someone to come back. Do you really think EA is going to come back? No. You think Activision is going to come back? No.
Very quick, Marcia.
Can I chime in really quickly? It's my first E3. I don't feel like anything was missing for me. And how many games can you see in the span of 3 days? So I personally saw more than 12 titles that I probably would have never tried in my lifetime. And I took a great deal of stuff away from me. So, I mean, how much can you see in those 3 days? Why does there have to be more? Like... I left.
No,
it
it's not. It's not.
I don't know.
This has nothing to do with having more games. Because honestly, we go there to check out the games and interviews, but like to sit down and actually play. Like honestly, most of the time we don't have no time for that stuff at all. And it's not even about that, Marcia. The thing is, I feel that the industry is changing. That's the thing. The industry is changing, and you know, companies. I think they get a bigger buzz by doing their own thing. Like how EA play and having live streams and stuff, and just have the community there to be involved, because they're gonna be the ones spreading the word about the game. Like, oh my god, Titanfall was the greatest, and Battlefield. I feel like the media is changing.
Yeah, the point on this is not. I totally get what you're saying, and you're right. There's only so many games you can play in amount of time, but the point is these companies get more value out of doing their own thing. And having the news cycle be only about them for a few days, allowing the public in, letting them get hands on. Mm-hmm. They go to Twitter, they go to Facebook, they talk about what they see, and it spreads organically.
Yep.
Versus IGN or Polygon or whoever coming in, saying a few things, doing a few write-ups, and putting on their website, and you might get a few clicks off of it. I just think the way the way social media is now and the way that we all communicate with each other via Twitch and YouTube gaming and all that, obviously Activision, EA see value in that and they left. It's only going to be a matter of time before Sony and Microsoft follow suit. And like we said last night, Sony already has it built in with PlayStation Experience for them to easily say, I'm out.
And the fans are willing to pay to attend these events. You know, same thing with Call of Duty XP. So...
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, any disappointments? There was a lot of great games, but there has to be some that was like, wow, I thought it was going to be something amazing, and it wasn't all that. Were there any games like that? Like the Ubisoft booth. Honestly, I liked every game that they had. Even the one that they had, the little gear, the Just Dance was like a little, the VR demo. Yeah, yeah. Even that was actually fun, man, you know? But yeah, that was, I liked it, man. I like it a lot. And Forza Horizon was like one of my favorites of so far of E3, man.
Actually, Paris, you got to see something that you were actually looking for. You actually had hands on something that we were looking forward to last year.
Talk? Why am I?
Well, it's because we're asking, you know, we're asking questions. Everybody's staying quiet, so you know.
Besides, you disagree with whatever. You say, so I'm not. Gonna
I didn't
anymore.
Disagree with you. I said. Actually, Marsha, what disappointed you? I'm sorry, Peter. I'm giving it.
You got to see. You got to see a lot of games.
I have been disappointed with nothing that I saw, though, because I played so many games that were out of my comfort zone or my genre specifically. Mm-hmm. So I just had a blast with everything, just trying new things. So, but again, my first E3, what was I going to be disappointed in? Like,
no, there in the past, I seen some games I was like,
right. But like, as she's saying, fine. She doesn't have an experience.
No, that's fine. No, that's
upon.
Good. That's fine. There's
I wasn't
nothing
looking
wrong
for
that.
Anything specific. I just wanted to play the stuff and it was just fun. So.
Cool.
I think the only thing I'd probably be disappointed in is the games that were missing that I was hoping to see there. Red Dead Redemption, maybe. Crackdown 3.
But see, that was never announced, though. And that was never that was just rumors. And
we didn't get anything.
Leo tried to tell y'all that game.
Come on.
We didn't get nothing from Crackdown 3.
That was one that was like, man, are you serious? Why did they leave? Mass Effect, that was another one that was like, why?
Okay, I have one disappointment, if I were to call it that. The dates that are lacking in Sony's press conference. But it really has nothing to do with the show floor. But there are a lot of things shown, you know, game after game, even during the press conference with Sony. The orchestra stuff was great. I really enjoyed that, you know. But in terms of dates for things that we're actually waiting for, which is a lot of games that we're waiting for, there weren't a lot of dates for that particular press conference. Outside of that, I mean, you know, Friends... You know, new relationships, new bonds, you know, stronger bonds and stuff like that. It's good stuff.
Definitely.
Are you, were you
I was going to say first, you and I had had some excitement for Deus Ex last year. And then you had a chance to play some hands-on time near the end of the afternoon. What do you think?
Like I told you when you asked me, it's Deus Ex. I mean, it's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just... If you like
cookie cutter, copy paste.
I didn't feel like it was doing anything extraordinary, but I mean, that's just a demo level. Who knows?
Right.
The final thing. But I also played with a different control scheme and I did it on purpose just to see how it would feel. And it took me, you know, as you would expect, it took me a minute to get used to it. But I feel like given a choice when I'm sitting at home, since they give you the option to go back to the standard control, I'm just going to go back to that.
Mm. One of the ones that I was hoping was going to make an appearance was Beyond Good and Evil 2. I was hoping there was going to be a teaser for that.
Yeah.
Nothing
Zero.
On that one.
Yeah.
Evil Within 2, I was hoping maybe it would have made an appearance. I know Tango's been hiring people for a new project, but we heard zero on that one.
Mm-hmm. No and Shenmue then, 3.
Well, that's the
I
big
put money on that.
Right?
I'm still waiting on that game.
Also, I mean, the big announcement from last year's PlayStation press conference that everybody, you know, is throwing wallets on the floor, ready to buy, but still another radio silent. Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, the remake.
The remake.
I think.
I mean, this is a remake. It's not they got to create a whole new script.
Totally
and a
agree.
New story.
Totally agree. But if you think about it, though, they need to promote this game that's coming out now this year. Forget about Final Fantasy VII, they know that the fans are going to buy that right away. So So focus on this Final Fantasy is coming out this year, and then next year start promoting
Same with Kingdom Hearts. Just like you were saying last night on the show, why I don't like it when the companies start promoting all these games that they're not going to be supporting or talking about like a year later, and we're going to be wondering what's happening, you know? No release dates, but you know what they're trying to do. They're just trying to sell consoles, really. Like,
yeah.
We got these games coming. Go buy a PS4.
Well, we had I think there was a caller. I'm going to play that in a couple weeks, like once we start recording it again. He said that he liked their press conference, and he feels that it was more confidence, like, we have a bunch of other games. You could wait until this game comes out type thing. You know?
And it's disappointing because, you know, there's kids who heard about a game when they're eighth graders. They're going to be seniors graduating from high school by the time it comes out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No,
but
I agree.
Why keep announcing games? It's almost as if Sony is just throwing names out there to create the buzz and hype up their press conference to win that air quote trophy for, you know, press conference of E3. And then, okay, that was all we wanted to do. We just wanted to win the hype war for E3. Who cares about anything else?
But a lot of people are going to disagree with that, with what you're just saying.
Of course they are.
Because they're happy. They're like, look, the game's eventually is going to come out.
I know exactly who's going to argue that one.
No, forget about that. It's fine. But I'm saying, like, that's how it is, you know? Like, that's what I like about Microsoft press conference. You know, they're showing stuff, you know? And I'm excited, and I know it's coming in a couple months, you know? And I'm ready to buy games from Microsoft, man. I can't wait. Oh, God, Pete, come on.
What time is it now?
Well, you should have one disappointment, though.
From the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't a discless Xbox.
That's true. That's true. I honestly thought that in the future they will, eventually. Eventually in the future...
Well, since we're on that subject, I mean, being serious about it. Scorpio. So Phil Spencer was on Giant Bomb last night. And said that, Scorpio is not going to be cheap. It will be a premium product. So when you hear it is a premium product, what is the price you think it's going to come in at?
Man, now after that, between $500 to $700.
$599.
$550.
$599 sounds right.
I feel like we're on the prices right.
What do you think?
$551. I don't know. I would think if a standard console is like $400, it's going to be upwards even higher, like maybe like $800.
Wow, that's high.
If it is, and I hear what she's saying, and believe it or not, if you think about if they're talking true 4K gaming, the GPU that's going to need to power this to have true 4K gaming, which I mean is at a minimum locked 30 frames per second. Realistically, it should be 60, but I doubt the Scorpio gets to that. That's a pricey GPU. I mean, you're spending retail. You're spending what $600 to $700 for something like that right now. Now AMD is a little cheaper than NVIDIA, so let's just say $500 to round it off. You're buying in mass quantities. You got to figure that's still probably a $300 to $350 just for the GPU. Not to mention the rest of the console. So if it's that alone, things got to be $600 minimum, right?
So plus a Blu-ray drive.
That's what I'm saying. It's an ultra HD. Blu-ray drive. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's.
But it's still cheaper than a nice high-end gaming PC, though.
Oh, it is.
It is still a value if you're just looking for something for 4K gaming, if that matters to you. But does that matter to the typical console gamer?
Right.
That's what it comes back to. Which obviously Microsoft could then market. Well, here's our Xbox One S. That's what that's for. That's for people that don't care about 4K. But if you do care about 4K, here's a Scorpio.
Right.
And which is what Sony's going to do.
Buy the Ford Focus or buy the Ford Mustang. Take your pick.
Now, my question is, Sony, the new PlayStation 4 Neo, is that going to be expensive too? Or are they going to keep it cheaper?
I'm waiting because we all still expect the Neo to come this year, right?
Yeah.
I think most of us do. So they're going to set the price. Because once they say, all right, Neo, let's just say it's $500. Once Neo is $500, Scorpio can't be six, because we're right back to 2013.
But at the same time, you don't know because we don't have hard specs on what's going to be in there.
That's the thing.
And we haven't heard. Sony hasn't shown their hand.
No, they have in this sense. Andrew House has stated this is a 4K box. He stated that before E3.
He did.
The standard has been set.
Mm-hmm.
Neo can't not, if that makes sense, allow myself to introduce myself, be anything less than a 4K gaming machine. Because if it isn't, then Microsoft has already won that war of the new higher-end consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but regardless, it's going to come down to price. If both of them do 4K, you can't have one that's $100 or more than the other. Or, again, they just go right back to 2013. They're in exactly. the same boat again. And this time, Kinect isn't the issue. So, we'll see. It's gonna be interesting to see.
It's going to be a very interesting console war in a few months. So,
are you ready to save money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to our sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to gamefly.com/gamertag. Pick your favorite games and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is a leading video game rental service. Over 9,000 titles to choose from. Lets you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want, and you'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. They now offer movie rentals too, which is a great thing. So go to gamefly.com/gamertag. Start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at a time. You can only get this offer by going to gamefly.com/gamertag, and Cleveland is killing Golden State right now in the first quarter. Now go sign up and start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days at gamefly.com/gamertag.
There was a lot of VRs this year at E3, more than last year. Now, is it now the future, now that we see Oculus and every other company pushing this really, really hard? That's it? It's official? This is the future now? Or what?
I don't think so.
You know?
I still don't see VR taking the lead with gaming anytime soon. Not even in the next decade. I mean, it may be a nice supplement to the way we currently play games, but I don't see it taking over.
Okay. I do think there's a way. I think there's you can see the application more now having experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Games like Steep, where it's the first person view and, you know, you can go into a paragliding situation. And so part of the game is sponsored by GoPro. You can go into GoPro mode where it gives you the feeling and the view from a GoPro camera sitting on the player.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine having, like, saying, okay, I want to go into GoPro mode, put on a VR helmet, and now you're in GoPro, you know, VR, and you have that full experience. That would be totally cool, and I could totally get that being it. But like Paris said, it's a supplement. Until we see the, you know, Resident Evil, what was it, a Biohazard, which is their VR.
That game looks awesome.
Great application.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that. But mm-hmm. I mean, everything else just seems to be one-off, like, missions in VR. Nothing full scale.
Besides Zelda, Resident Evil VR, the line was long. I'm talking about every time I get there to the booth, tickets sold out. You know, so it's there. I think by having the right games, it's going to sell more VRs. And that, I think, is going to inspire a lot of developers to create like new VR games. Look, Resident Evil, it's a popular name. Everybody knows that. And that's going to make people buy that, man. Having a horror game, I love that, man. Playing it at home, oh my God, all scary.
Right,
oh,
so
man,
like,
that's amazing.
Andrew's had like last like 36 hours in VR, apparently.
Yeah, the implementation, you can't like dismiss it, you know, because right now you're seeing a lot of companies even creating hardware for it.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. It's definitely something that... they feel like they're not going to get left behind in it. Whether it's in addition to your current gaming experience or it's something that you decide to make it your centerpiece, you know, of your gaming experience, is definitely mm-hmm. something that you can't dismiss.
Yeah, and the thing is, right now, the majority of stuff is PC right now. But once they start making VR games for consoles, I think it's going to be a game changer, in my opinion, I think.
So I'd like to get your guys' opinions on that, and more so like Marsha or Q. Bethesda's VR. So they have like their own iteration of VR, but I don't know if they're doing a whole development of VR-based games versus doing, you know, like a kind of like a subset of their existing IPs. You know, that'd be, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on like how they're taking Doom and Fallout 4 and adding VR to it to just give it a more rounded experience versus, you know, or giving you an option saying, do I want to go just straight up on the TV or on a monitor, or do I want to go VR?
Yeah, I don't like that. I think that's real gimmicky, kind of like how they do 3D in movies and stuff. Like, you know, they make the movie regular. And, oh, let's throw in some 3D. I'd rather have a game developed to be VR from the ground up. And I don't think that it's going to work like that. I think they're just hopping on a fad and a trend real quick instead of doing it from the ground up, which is what I would prefer, you know.
Marsha?
What do you think, Marsha?
I don't know. VR is probably not going to take over gaming. I agree with that, because it's not meant to be just for gaming. It's meant to be all-encompassing, as you could see at the E3 show floor with the weird things like VR porn and, you know. But like,
Marsha, you got to mention that story. That story was hilarious.
Honestly, I mean, it's everything. So the one thing at the E3 show floor that was not gaming was this VR porn booth. And it was just a creepy, weird cluster of people at the end of a small hallway, kind of all
in the corner,
sandwiched in together.
That was was that in the South Hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And it was odd, but I mean, in my mind, VR is not meant to be just for gaming. It's not going to replace gaming. No. It's not going to take over gaming. And I personally am not looking at VR. I did my first VR experience today. Which roller coaster?
Oh, the roller coaster one. Cool. Okay.
But like, okay. I didn't like it. I didn't like the headset on my head. I know they're going to get smaller. They're going to get sleeker. It's going to get better. I wouldn't early adapt into it. It's not even on my radar. So I'm kind of not even paying attention to it right now because it just feels cheesy. Like you said, like it, I don't like a 3D movie. I don't like 3D movies.
I would like to see games that's just for VR from... They started from
only
that.
Only available on VR? Yeah. So that you have to, feel like, if you want to have that experience, you have to get invested into it?
Yes. I don't like the like you said, Fallout. Like you said, gimmicky, man. I totally agree with that.
They need to be different kind of games just for that. Like, because there's so many options, but...
Yeah, very true.
I have a question for you guys. What is your game of the show of E3 2016?
All right, I have two. Ghost Recon and Forza Horizon 3. Just the games that I've seen in Beyond Closed Doors. Yeah, I know there was
all together.
There was a lot. I mean, I wanted to see Zelda, but it was just impossible. That line was just too much, you know. And there was a lot of games I wanted to check out, but I think the ones that I got to see, those are the two that was like, man, I got to really get this game, like, when it comes out. But there was a few indie games, too, that surprised me. We Happy Few. That one was, like, a big one for me, too. It reminded me a lot of, like, Bioshock. And Cuphead, of course. I'm excited for that. And
did you play Cuphead?
No. I got to see, like, somebody was playing at the Microsoft Showcase. I was there for a while and they were playing it. But I wanted to also check out Dead Rising. But there was a lot of people playing that game too at the party and also at the booth. But those are the games that I'm like super excited about once it comes out, you know. So, and there was another one that Aaron mentioned, Paris. What was the it was Inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's saying be on the lookout for that game. They're calling it one of the best games in years. That's coming from a lot of other people that have been playing it behind the closed doors and stuff, you know? So we'll see.
Paris?
I'm going to go outside the box because I've been saying Ghost Recon and Gwent all week. But
stick to your guns.
No. I think it's Xbox Anywhere because it has me interested in Microsoft again. It has me interested in Xbox brand again. It's what I wanted them to do. It looks like the way they're incorporating it is very smart. It only helps the Xbox brand, the Microsoft brand. It's going to bring PC gamers into that Microsoft ecosystem. You know, as long as they don't screw it up by limiting PC features with UWP, like we saw with Quantum Break and Gears of War, on Windows 10, if it's as robust as if I got a game on Steam, then I'm happy with it. So much so, I was even joking around with Xbox MVP lead today, you know, Rob.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm kind of, sort of, maybe considering a 1S. Because I can see a scenario with my son and I playing Gears of War together. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can be on the PC. He can be on the Xbox. And we can play together. I can play with you guys.
That should be cheaper to buy a 1S than it would be to set up a whole new computer for your son.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Because I would just get the $299 model. I have no need to get a bigger hard drive on it.
Yeah. I like that answer, though. Xbox Anywhere.
Idea. Yeah.
I like that.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Pete?
I want to say steep. Just because it had a...
He was smiling the whole time.
I was so excited to finally get a winter sports game. Yeah, I was so excited, you know, having a chance to put in some extended game time on there. I enjoyed it. Watch Dogs 2 was pretty interesting as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole openness of it.
Soundtrack is ridiculous.
Soundtrack is amazing.
Wow.
So, I'm ready. Yeah, we got an opportunity to do an interview with one of the game directors as well. Mm-hmm. So that'll be popping out tonight or tomorrow, hopefully. So,
all right, cool. Marcia?
So mine's a twofer. Sea of Thieves, I want so badly, so very badly. Just the gameplay and the press thing got me, because you can abuse your friends and maybe a little drinking and pirating. But my second one is, surprisingly for me, Lego Dimensions. And I was pretty resistant to that. But then I sat through theirs and I got to play it. And they're bringing back this nostalgia factor. And I know they're doing it on purpose to get people like me who are resistant. But they're putting in Powerpuff Girls. They're bringing in like the new Ghostbusters now with the women. So you can get that kit and you can play through the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can get the packs now and get like a whole Lego game. Because I'm a big Lego game person. They brought a lot more features to it that got me. Because I was resistant. I don't have $150 for the set to begin with. But I want it now. Goonies, like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they got me. So Gremlins, like all this stuff. So good job, take my money.
Andrew.
Okay, things that I played, GT Sport was really dope.
Okay.
And also Rez for PlayStation VR. I really like that.
That's a classic, man.
Things that I saw, God of War, I really enjoyed what I saw at the press conference. That was, to me, it was really amazing. So I'm looking forward to that. Hardware stuff, because I like tech and hardware stuff. The new Astro A50 PlayStation, which is
really
amazing. Charging station, PC, you know, Xbox for the green, and then blue and black for the PlayStation. They're really doing a great job there, too.
Awesome. You?
For me, is actually, from what I saw, Days Gone. I was really impressed.
God, I forgot about that game. Yeah,
Because you know, we saw the demo at the PlayStation press conference, and they had a longer one at the PlayStation booth, and it just shows more of the crafting and more of the attacks. There's environmental attacks. He was taking the they're not zombies; they're called freakers. So he's taking their heads and shoving them in blades that are on an old workshop. He grabbed an axe and was like chopping fools up, and of course he had the gun And he was able to set C4 and, you know, blow up, you know, a bunch of the guys. And I was just really impressed. And I know people are kind of going in about copying, you know, Naughty Dog style about the third person thing. But I'm okay with that, because I like Naughty Dog style.
Wait, how they're copying? I don't see it.
Just the gameplay, you know, your third person gameplay. The same with God of War and Horizon.
Figure it's Last of Us with freakers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, but I like that style.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
That game reminded me a lot of like Dead Rising, kind of, because of the amount of the enemies.
All the enemies.
Yeah.
And the game that I actually got to play, I agree with Watch Dogs 2. I really like that. And I like the first one too. I know some people thought it was boring, but I like the gadgetry, the gadget fantasy and stuff. And then they recreated San Francisco really well in that game.
It looks amazing. Marin, you can go over to Oakland. Both bridges are up. You can take that drone out and you can just traverse the city. It's really dope.
Wow. So yeah, those are my two.
Cool, man. So we're gonna wrap it up. I mean,
did you say yours?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all good. So we're gonna wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. And listen to all of our E3 2016 coverage. And let us know. We're going to take a break next week for like just a couple of days, and then we'll be back on the 27th of this month. And give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Any last words, Paris?
Oh, it's been a fun E3. Thank everybody for making this a good one.
Awesome. Pete?
Yeah, mirror that. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to Neil and the Messengers Podcast documentary.
Wow.
I can't even speak.
He's hungry.
I'm so hungry right now. I've been eating.
Hungry.
I'm hungry. Yeah. Hungry. It's been a rock solid E3 for us as a whole. You know, it's always good for us to get together. And,
yeah. I think honestly that was the best part of E3. Just like seeing everybody, you know, seeing my crew, like, you know, I feel that, you know, we're family, you know, so it was a great experience. We were laughing every, Marcia was there, every few minutes we were just joking around, that's the friendship, man, like, it's, I don't know, it's just amazing, man, to me, you know, hanging out with you guys and everything, so, yeah.
Marcia, I gotta put you on the spot.
I'm happy to be put on the spot.
Since you've observed the three of us for a week now. Please enlighten the audience of our dynamic, because you have an unbiased opinion.
It is a glorious and wonderful dynamic. You guys know I love you. I've known you for a very long time. And you've been very impactful to what I'm doing with the Mommy Gamers. But these guys wake up in the morning, and the first thing Peter and Paris do is like flip each other off, or, you know, yell at each other. And there's a bunch of cursing. It's a really interesting way to wake up in the morning on the couch. I'm like, all right, whatever, chaos. And there's like always some kind of like hip hop music going, or they're talking about the podcast. I think you guys should make a podcast of you talking about your last recorded podcast, because that's fun to listen to. Because then you guys get in arguments again, all over again. It's like your podcast. Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. I'm going to replay it.
Yeah, that was his morning.
That was his morning.
Tony's morning. Yeah. I told Danny, I'm listening with headphones on, and Danny said something that was like completely wrong. And I'm like, dude, you just contradicted yourself. No, I didn't. I take the headphones out, play it to him again. He still argues that he didn't say it.
Hey, so, man. Yeah, it was good times. I had a very, very good week. Thank you guys.
No, Marcia, thanks for, you know, hanging out with us all week. It was it was actually a lot of fun.
Would you do it again?
10 out of 10, yes. I would recommend this experience to others.
Awesome.
Oh, we should sell tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we should. Make it happen, right?
I don't have any money, but I'd do it again.
Yeah.
So.
Andrew.
So if you've never been to E3, keep the fire burning. It's a great show. You know, I know there's a lot of individuals who are, they really want to come at least one time to the show. Definitely, you know, keep that fire burning. You know, those are my last words.
Okay. I know Paris is looking at you like, what?
He's Andrew's trying to be inspiring, okay?
No, he can't. He I gotta do it. He literally gets up like he's Shakespeare. Gotta keep that fire burning. You gotta keep it motivated.
Leave the man alone.
C3, I love you all.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's always good to see you. You know, this year, Paris has gotten so much bigger and swoller. I feel so safe walking the streets. I feel so safe walking the streets with Paris next to me. I feel like
nobody will mess with you.
Yeah, or I feel like starting stuff to just go get him, Paris. He's so big. But yeah, it's great to see you guys. And visit GameCrate.com for our E3 coverage too. It's all in print, so if you don't want to,
and I know,
if you get done listening, you can go read.
I know that Marsh and Andrew, come on, guys. You gotta promote
politics.
Promote.
All right. So if you would like to hear some fabulous women in the gaming industry who are also mothers, tune into the Mommy Gamers. You can find us the same place. You guys can find Gamertag Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, anywhere you type in the Mommy Gamers. So
awesome.
You can find me at theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. Probing interviews, tech gaming and entertainment content. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
And keep the fire burning.
All right. Until next year, this has been an amazing E3. Love you guys. Love our listeners. It's been an amazing, amazing experience this week. And I have Paris right behind me.
I always wanted to be a data champ. I'm in the control room. I got it.
Help.
I'm just a man from St. Petersburg, Florida. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.